Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We got all sorts of great stuff that we are dealing with. My dear friend Tony Pham is going to be with us in a half an hour. Tony, of course, headed up ICE for President Trump. He knows a thing or two about the border and interior enforcement. He's now a senior fellow at the America First Policy Center, and he has some amazing pieces that he has authored. We'll talk a little bit about them and hopefully get a little insight into what he sees moving forward. I think the idea of President Trump bringing in federal help for the D.C. police, the Metropolitan Police, is a good thing. I'm puzzled in many ways by the leftists, and in fact by the Democrat Party, which has now staked out a position repeatedly of being on the side of criminals. They just do not like law enforcement. They've made that clear through the years, but they're also making clear that they don't give a crap about the victims of crimes. D.C. has been so dangerous in recent history. That ought not be a discussion. Everybody sees it. But the leftists in general, the Democrat Party in particular, is so desperate to be against anything and everything that President Trump is for, they would rather side with criminals. Seems to me you would want everybody to be safe. Public safety really shouldn't be a political issue as far as I'm concerned. Everybody should want safe streets. Everybody should want criminals locked up. Everybody should want law enforcement to have the experience, the support, the funding that's necessary to do the job. Let me give you some of the craziness that I've heard from leftists talking about the crime in D.C. PBS, the recently defunded PBS. And isn't it funny? Here they are. They lost their federal funding. They're still able to operate. I know it is kind of a shame, but because they promised us that they would go out of business. They promised us that they would vanish, that NPR and PBS would be things of the past. And yet here they are. I don't know if they're selling more of those obnoxious tote bags or more of the phony baloney advertising they call sponsorship. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it right. How about cut number two? Psaki.
But this is different. There's a concern that once Trump gets his fingerprints on a police department, he may not take his hands off of it.
What is his underlying reason for doing this now?
He's alleging a crime emergency is underway in the District of Columbia when pressed on the crime numbers and shown what the D.C. government has released, that there's a 26% drop in violent crime from this time last year. He alleges the numbers are rigged or the numbers are cooked, much like he did after the 2020 election or with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So he's alleging there's a crime emergency, that this is there to combat. But for the people of the District of Columbia who do not mind extra law enforcement, they're concerned this is heavy-handed and this is pernicious and this is not the right response
right.
to it.
I mean, Zolan, we the people who know the long history of home rule in D.C. Understand that this is a very, very fraught racial issue
sure.
as well. This is about giving the people of D.C. the right to self-government.
Right.
This seems to be a kind of an old, coming from an old playbook. Is that fair to say?
No. It's coming from the playbook of saying that the very people you claim to be concerned with deserve to be safe. They talk about the crime stats out of D.C. A couple of things that have been exposed. Number one, there's been a lot of cooking of the books in D.C. A lot of book cooking going on with crime stats. For 4 years when Biden was in power, or, well, you know, I mean, he was sitting at the desk. Well, all right, he was. They told us Biden was in charge. I mean, what do you want me to say? I can't do much more than that. What did they do then? Well, they dialed back all of the crime reporting from around the country. There have always been certain crime statistics that local agencies, be they town or city or county, share with the FBI and agencies in D.C. to analyze crime. And during the Biden years, a lot of that was just taken off the books. And so in some cases, you saw reductions in what are called Part 1 crimes because they were not to be reported anymore. D.C., it has already been exposed. It wasn't me. It was one of the reporters up there said, well, we have the information from people inside the Metropolitan Police that they have been told to cook the books, and they've been cooking the books. But let's say for a second that PBS is actually right about something. Now, we know they're not, but let's say they're right about something. That crime was actually 26% lower than it was this time last year. What they conveniently ignored was how high the crime was last year. If you are making people safer, isn't that a good thing? Because PBS and these other self-serving, self-righteous leftists up there would have you believe they care about everybody in the district. They don't. They are concerned exclusively with Northwest, right? Georgetown. That's it. And that's safer. What they ignore are the people who live in Southeast. They're ignoring other people who live in the district who haven't seen a police officer in years. Andrea Mitchell is one of those gigantic hypocrites. We've got a little snippet from her. Cut number four, soggy. No? All right. Well, all right. It's Andrea Mitchell. Soggy, cut number four. If you can find it, that'd be great. If not, it's all right. Tony Pham is going to be with us at 5:35. Former ICE director. We'll talk a little bit about what he's doing right now as a senior fellow over at the America First Policy Center. I mean, he's really, really examining things and analyzing things and writing things that are just great. Let me take a look at some of the stuff coming in here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 401 says, Jeff, I thought you were an intelligent person, but now I know you're a genius. Go Red Sox. Yeah, well, I'm married into a Boston family. So I have developed over the last 26 years a real affinity for sleeping in the big bed in the master bedroom. So go Sox. Mike in Cumberland says, Jeff, the final home stand for the Flying Squirrels is September the 9th through the 14th. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to try and get over there. September 9th, as some know, is my birthday. And I don't know what you're getting me, but make it something nice, would you? All right. Yeah, no, seriously, September 9th is my birthday. 804 says, Jeff, do you really think President Trump is doing a ride-along? Well, no, not like you might do a ride-along if you did the Citizens Academy class in one of the counties. No, of course not, of course not. But the fact that he's going out on the street...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In any way, is a great visual representation of his concern. And I think it's great. Ken down in Chesterfield says, hey, Jeff, have you received any feedback from the graduates of your parenting classes? Well, I don't do parenting classes. I do the fatherhood class, the Inside Out Dad. No, and I make that distinction. I understand where Ken's coming from, but we're focused on the guys. We are the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. Now, we know the best mothers on planet Earth have good men who are fathers, right? I mean, that's just the reality. And the best fathers have got great mothers. But I'm focused on the guys. So I help them to work better with their wives or with their girlfriends or their partners or whatever the situation is. Because I get all of them. They're all out there. But I don't know that I've had, quote, feedback from the graduates after they've left, but we do a full review. We do an analysis of what we dealt with in those 12, 13, 14 weeks of the class. Every one of the guys that I've chatted with has come away with something positive. Did they put it into play? I don't know. I hope so. It's 5:15. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Tomorrow is Friday. My buddy Rich Herrera, who hosts Richmond's Morning News, is going to be out. He's going to be over at Shorty's Diner. He's going to do the whole show there from 6 in the morning until 10. That'll be pretty cool. So you should pop over. I mean, bottom line, you're going to be listening anyway. Why not go over and grab a little something to eat at Shorty's? There's some good food there. He's got some interesting folks coming in. Dr. Donnie Avuli, who is the mayor of the city of Richmond. I don't think we can say the new mayor anymore. I mean, he owns whatever the terrible situations are. They're his at this point. But he's going to be hopping over. That'll be interesting. Yeah, going to chat with him. See if they have free ice cream for him. That's why I always call him Dr. Donnie Avuli, because the VCU students, Heidi and I were down at the Altria Theater for something, and the VCU students were all excited about how they could get free ice cream, and all they had to do was show up at an event to say they were voting for, and they said, Dr. Donnie Avuli. So they had no idea who he is or what he stood for, but they knew there was free ice cream. So there you have it. But also, Winsome Sears is going to be dropping by around 9 o'clock in the morning. That's certainly worth turning out to. She's a good lady. She's going to be a great governor. And don't believe some of the crapola you are getting from legacy news media people or from some of these legacy political analysts who are themselves leftists. I mean, you don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You need to know that this is a race which is winnable by either side. They're trying to suppress Republicans. They do it every time. They do it very effectively as well. Some of the TV outlets, the newspaper outlets. But don't let them do it. Just look at the reality. What is possible? How do we save what Governor Youngkin has done for the last 4 years? As an example, I was looking at a story a little bit earlier today from the Times-Dispatch. And it has a graph. It says 2025 arrests by ICE in Virginia. ICE arrests in Virginia have been happening at a record pace. Meanwhile, the percentage of those detainees with a criminal record or pending charges has remained at 50% or lower. So what is that? What's the messaging there? The message is, well, you're locking all these people up. That's not good. It's only 50%, same as it was. Yeah. See, I know I'm not a math guy. I'm not a numbers guy. But I do know that 50% of 4,000 is way more than 50% of 100. ICE is getting more criminals off the streets. Times-Dispatch folks may not like that. But even their own chart, which clearly is designed to tell you, oh, it's just nothing really happening here. It's 50% of a much larger number. Starts at 50% of what is that, 100? And goes up to 50% of 4,000. You don't need that advanced math degree to know that 50% of 4,000 is way more than 50% of 100. So the number of arrests has skyrocketed, Times-Dispatch. Skyrocketed. ICE is doing exactly what they need to do. Law enforcement up in D.C. is legitimately making D.C. safer for everyone, not just the people in Northwest, not just the people in Georgetown. They're making it safer for everyone. That's a good thing. And you can hate on Trump all you want, but the facts are the facts. Tony Pham joins us in a couple of moments. Tony, of course, was the ICE director for President Trump, now a senior fellow over at the America First Policy Institute. He'll be with us to give us a little insight on everything going on. He's a brilliant guy. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., I'll be on with Newsmax Television. We'll be on First Edition. Deneen Borelli is a marvelous woman, and John Burnett. John Burnett actually was one of the guys I was traveling with in Israel last week. So we've got a lot of stuff we'll be doing tomorrow on the television program. Again, First Edition on Newsmax. I'll be there at 7 a.m.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow morning. It's been a busy Newsmax week this week. I think it's the third hit I've done for them. And you know, I love Newsmax. I love Chris Ruddy and the team. They're great people. I think the world of Tony Pham as well. I really do. Tony, of course, headed up ICE for President Trump and is now the senior fellow over at the America First Policy Institute, writing about homeland security, immigration, things of that sort, border security. He's got a great piece out. Just dropped it today, and I want to talk about that. Tony, thanks for being here.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for having me on your show again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, the pleasure is always mine. I love getting your insight. You have a great piece today at the America First Policy Institute website, AmericaFirstPolicy.com. And I'm just going to give everybody the headline, then I want you to dive into the details. Congress must act to prevent sanctuary jurisdictions from harboring criminal illegal aliens. All right, what's going on? Is there legislation we need to know about?
Not yet, Jeff. Our position is advocating the need for congressional action. And this is based on individual experiences that occurred when you have jurisdictions that are recalcitrant and do not want to cooperate with ICE and its immigration enforcement. And they use multiple different avenues for excuses. In the policy paper, we talk about identifying, simply put, that some folks, just like sheriffs or regional jails, are not wanting to cooperate because they're fearful of potential litigation that comes from the illegal alien under the Civil Rights Act for, you know, detention. I'll give you an example. In Henrico, back in 2015, there was a lawsuit filed against the Henrico sheriff where the illegal alien accused the sheriff of holding the individual past their state crime release date, and believe it or not, got a settlement using taxpayer-funded dollars to settle the case. The other issues we identified, simply put, was there were some, I would say, contradictory rulings. And one major ruling, because I dealt with this when I was the in-house counsel for the sheriff's office in Richmond, was out of the Third Circuit, the Galarza case, which identified detainers as being voluntary and not mandatory. So we have identified through the paper, and I recommend your listeners to go to AmericaFirstPolicy.com, pull up the paper. That's why we published it, for folks to read it, digest it, and understand why we're pushing for congressional action that does a few things, because Congress sets the laws, right? They pass the immigration enforcement laws. And what we're asking and hoping that from a policy position is that since we have, you know, since conservatives have both the Senate and the House, this may be a good time to revisit the original, original legislation called the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, as well as the No Bailouts for Sanctuary Cities Act, both of which address the very concerns that we identified as what creates this environment where certain actors like sheriffs or jails or even localities are fearful to cooperate with ICE. And we want to be able to lift that veil of fear and give them some comfort through legislative enactment so they feel comforted and actually somewhat protected to enforce immigration laws to protect their communities and advance the America First agenda.
Interesting. What sort of standing, if any, do these jurisdictions have to not cooperate? I'm not an attorney, but I know that our Constitution has something about what, a supremacy clause, federal laws, blah 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 blah. Is there any legal standing for Mayor Wu in Boston or Governor Pritzker in Illinois to do what they're doing?
Sure, absolutely. Look, similar. Let me point to how Florida is getting it done and getting it done correctly, right?
Yeah.
The governor there and the legislature there was able to pass legislation that actually mandated that they enforce immigration laws. I know in Georgia, as another example, legislation, again, was passed that mandated cooperation via the 287G process under the Immigration Nationality Act. So the legislative route seems to be the route that provides the, I call what, the sword, right? Mm-hmm. For jurisdictions who want to cooperate or sheriffs who want to cooperate, but provides them the sword to do so. But it's also legislation that provides the shield, that protects them from these ludicrous claims that a criminal alien can file a lawsuit against a sitting sheriff,
yep,
after doing their time on a criminal offense and then sue the sheriff, scare the sheriff into settling the case, and then getting, oh my word, getting money from taxpayer-funded treasury And that's offensive. And so, you know, having lived that, right, Jeff, I when I speak about policy, having served in various different, the legal space for immigration at ICE, the operational space at ICE as a director, and then most recently as the policy as the assistant secretary, I blend all of that experience and bookend it with my experience in running a correctional facility who had ICE detainees to put together a pretty much a conclusion, which is we do need legislative enactment to help shield these, you know, these sheriffs in these red sheriffs in these blue towns and blue states who want to help ICE but are fearful that that they're going to be on the receiving end of retribution via lawsuits or things of that matter.
Tony Pham is joining us, and Tony has worn many hats throughout his very, very distinguished career. I'm glad you brought up the correctional part of this. You ran Virginia Peninsula Regional Jail, and you got these detainers from ICE. Now, explain to everybody what that is, because there seems to be a dispute. Is it a directive to you as the superintendent of that facility to hold this person till we show up? Is it a request to you to hold that person? Is it something else? What actually does that mean?
So far, it's been identified in the Third Circuit as a request to hold. And again, there are a couple of attorney general's opinions out there from, again, blue state attorney generals that have been very clear that these items are requests and not mandatory. I'll even point to our illustrious former Attorney General Mark Herring issued the exact same legal opinion, even though I thought it was flawed. But it is, in his position, it was his right to issue that, his interpretation of what a detainer is. But let me say this, in Virginia, right, Jeff, the legislature was very, very, very astute. And in order to shield jails such as mine and sheriffs and local sheriff-run jails, they passed legislation that permitted these correctional facilities to tender over physical custody of an illegal alien to ICE while still in state custody 5 days in advance of what we call their EOS, their end of sentence, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's in the statute, again, legislative enactment on the state level that allowed the transition and transfer of an illegal alien that ICE has identified as someone that they want, and they can do it for no more than 5 days, but they can still do it and release them into custody 5 days in advance of having to release them to the street. I thought that was brilliant back in 2015. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of undercuts any sheriff or any regional jail here in Virginia who is recalcitrant and feel that they do not want to cooperate with ICE. I don't understand that. When you read the paper, we have all of the tools in our toolkit to keep our American community safe and our American citizens safe by engaging in this safe transfer. Jeff, we're not talking about, and I want to zero in on the population set right that this talks about. We're talking about the lawful and legal transfer of an individual who is illegally in this country, who violated federal law to get into this country, who then subsequently committed a crime and received an active jail sentence and has been incarcerated either in the State Department of Corrections or a local jail. Those are individuals that have already on two separate occasions shown the American people that they cannot follow the law. They got into the country without inspection, and then they subsequently saw fit to commit a crime, get arrested, get prosecuted, convicted, and jailed and sentenced. This is the whole purpose of ensuring there's continued custody from the illegal immigrant from the correctional center to ICE custody to deportation, so we can ensure the American people and the public that these dangerous criminal aliens do not get released into our communities. But sanctuary jurisdictions who openly defy the cooperation open to with ICE, mm-hmm. what they're doing is they're lumping everyone in there and saying we're going to be a sanctuary for all to include criminal aliens. And so the paper talks about the need for legislative movement to finally standardize across the board, across the United States, legal protections, especially under the federal claims that may come from these illegal aliens who are held past their release date on state-based charges.
Interesting. What about the, I don't want to say it's a threat, but the possibility, because you address this in this piece a little bit. I do remind everybody that you go and read it. AmericaFirstPolicy.com is where you'll find the latest from Tony Pham, AmericaFirstPolicy.com. The possibility of the federal government, either through legislation or some sort of an executive order, saying, hey, you're not going to follow the law. We're not sending federal funds. Can it be that direct?
Absolutely, it can be direct. And Jeff, if you don't mind me giving a shout out, I want to be able to say this publicly, right? A very humble guy. I work with a fantastic group of folks at America First Policy Institute, right? Cooper Smith and Cassidy Scott are also signed on to this paper. So it's not just Tony Pham. These individuals love this country. They too are in the fight to advance policies that protect the American communities. But back to your point, absolutely. It's straightforward and we advocate for that. We advocate for the restriction of the federal purse.
Yep.
To those jurisdictions who openly and willfully refuse to cooperate with our federal immigration enforcement authorities. And I will give you another great example. Look, in Virginia, I go back to that statute. You know, the legislature, the House, and the Senate made clear when they passed that legislation, we are giving you local jails an out. And there are jurisdictions, and I'm going to name it, just like Richmond, Virginia, who still openly say, and the sheriff there, that we are not going to cooperate with ICE. And in my mind, it makes no sense as a former prosecutor, right, who worked in the city of Richmond, Jeff. That's my history.
Yeah,
I came up in that environment. I worked for a Democratic prosecutor. I worked for a Democratic sheriff.
Yep.
And I wonder, why are we allowing those policymakers and members of the executive branch to willfully defy a legitimate request to hold and transfer and knowingly releasing dangerous criminal aliens back into our communities and run the risk? All right, I want to be clear. My statement is run the risk of these individuals reoffending and hurting someone in our community again. You already have custody of these people. Why aren't we in a position to force them, at least if we have to? We don't want to have to force individuals to do this, something that is commonsensical, isn't it, Jeff? It's commonsensical.
Yep.
If you're a sheriff and you have an illegal alien who is in your custody for violating state statute, why wouldn't you want to simply say, I swore an oath to protect our communities. You're here in my jail for a reason. We're not letting you out. And I'm going to give you one last example because I know I'm taking up a lot of your time. People say, well, it's a civil offense, Jeff, do you realize that we do have civil commitments for violent sex offenders?
That's right.
Individuals that claim that they finished their time. No, I'm not going to parse whether it's felony or violent. I'm just going to simply say these folks have been convicted. They did their time, whatever time the jury or the judge may have given them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's statute and language that allows people to then civilly commit these individuals in state-run hospitals. And so we're okay. We're not claiming civil liberties in that context. But we're going to try to lobby for the release of a criminal alien without acknowledging that, we do already do that. And forgive me, I try not to accept the hypocrisy nor the double standards in our application of the law. I try never to do that in my role as a member of the executive branch. So it never made sense to me that you have a criminal alien in your possession, in custody, and ICE wants them. So it's as easy as protecting your communities and turning them over. So I'm hoping that I gave folks a reasonable basis for understanding the argument as to why we need legislative action.
Excellent. Hey, Tony, I don't mean to cut it. We're way out of time, but I appreciate you being here. I'm going to send everybody AmericaFirstPolicy.com. That is Tony Pham, former director of ICE for President Trump, now senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Here it is, believe it or not, Friday Eve. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, we've got another sort of unhinged leftist who has decided that the James River Air text line is a good avenue. I'm not even going to read it. It's just sort of crazy stuff. But, well, it is what it is. What can I tell you? Hey, lots of great stuff coming up tomorrow. Starting at 6 a.m., my friend Rich Herrera, hosts Richmond's Morning News. He's going to be over at Shorty's Diner doing his whole show over there. Winsome Sears is coming in at 9 o'clock in the morning to hang out. You'll be able to get in there, I guess, anytime between 6 and 10. Enjoy some food, chat with Rich, watch him do the radio show if you want. I think that'll be a good time. Go over and have a good time. Now, if you are near your laptop or your television set, I'll remind you that 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'll be on First Edition on Newsmax Television, catching up with a couple of folks that I like a lot, Deneen Borelli. And John Burnett. John and I were actually, we were travel mates in Israel with Newsmax about a week or so ago. So make sure you're checking all of that good stuff out. We got great stuff we'll be discussing tomorrow. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, a little bit more about the Flying Squirrels and the final four-pack of tickets for me to give to you. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.